The phone lines are open at 221-1402. On News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. And welcome to Christmas Eve on a wet day here in Reading in the North State. Hey, I'm joined, of course, by my ever-present bosses here, Kelly Frost Jr. Good morning, Kelly.
Hey, good morning. How's it going this morning?
Well, you know what? We're vertical. We're okay.
Awesome.
How about you?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little bit tired. Yeah. I had to get here at 4 this morning.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, yeah. Merry Christmas.
Hey, you too. Thank you.
Hey. And, of course, my soulmate here.
Well, good morning. And we also want to thank all the gracious shoppers yesterday. We were out, we hit the Costco parking lot and thought, can you imagine five deep waiting for a space? But anyway, thank you so much for, Reading is just a great place to be. Everybody's kind. And we have two very special guests in the studio with us this morning.
We have our mayor, Mayor Rick Bassetti, and the city manager, Kurt Starman. And this goes on in a, you know, kind of an event that we're doing, so we can get our leaders, our city leaders out, so that the people that are in our city and our area can then ask questions. And we've already got the phone lines backed up. But first, good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Carl.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Linda. Thank you very much for asking us to be on.
We really appreciate you being here, Mayor. And if there's, it's going to be just a bunch of people asking questions. Looks like we've already lined up everybody here already on the lines.
The free fire zone will begin. Are you ready?
Oh, very much
right.
So.
And, of course, our city manager, Kurt Starman.
Morning, Carl. Morning, Linda. Merry Christmas to you.
Good morning. I remember giving you a 10 on your waltz.
Yes, you and I last came across one another with the Dancing with the Stars event, a fundraiser for the YMCA and some other, the Women's Refuge as well. So that was a fun event, and appreciate you being a judge for us.
Well, thank you. Did a great job.
Thanks.
Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Hey, there's been a lot of things in the news. Kurt, I think you had something you wanted to talk about when we start here, before we even get to our listeners here.
Well, Carl and I were talking off the air just before we started the program. I know for the last couple of days, the economy and the budget have been the hot topic, and I thought it might be appropriate to start with that just as sort of a big picture conversation, and certainly we can jump into detail here as your audience wants to ask specific questions. But
they do.
You betcha. And obviously it's a very difficult economy for many people, not just here in Reading, but throughout the nation and throughout the world. We're really experiencing a severe global recession, and some would say perhaps on the verge of a depression. So it's been a real difficult time for everybody, and we hear the news reports every day of layoffs throughout the country, massive layoffs, thousands and thousands of individuals. And obviously that has an impact here locally, both in the private sector and the construction industry in particular has been very hard hit. And, of course, that also impacts the city of Reading and other government agencies as well. The city of Reading actually has done much better than most cities and counties in California, and that's because of past city councils and this city council have always taken a real strong position relative to fiscal responsibility and making sure we get our house in order. And so, we've made three iterations of budget reductions this year, and we've had a soft hiring freeze in place since October of 2007. That we're doing a lot better than most cities and counties in California. But it's a difficult time, and we'll continue to adjust to that. Those require some difficult decisions on the part of the elected officials. And, really, I know there's a lot of discussion about this decision or that decision, but in my opinion, this city council deserves a lot of credit for tackling this issue and doing what's necessary to get the budget in order.
Okay, hey, thanks, Kurt.
Thank you.
We're
going
to have to take a quick break here. This is Carl Lindabad here on Free Fire Radio. We're joined by Mayor Bassetti and our city manager, Kurt Starman. Join us on the other side.
You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott. It is, 8:14 in the morning, 38 degrees. We're going to take a caller right now, and his name is Gary. Gary, you're on the line.
Good morning. Merry Christmas,
Christmas.
And all.
Merry Christmas. Hey, Gary, thanks for waiting like 20 minutes. I think you got the record.
Yes, I wanted to say this. Anyway, the solution starts with the leadership, or part of the solution starts with the leadership. So, Mr. Starman, reduce your salary to 100 grand. because the 100 grand would go a long ways toward hiring three firefighters. And if you can't live on 100 grand in this town, there's something dramatically wrong. Number two, I can't think of his name right now, at Turtle Bay, who's the CEO there?
That's Mike Warren.
Mike Warren. What a sweetheart deal. $90,000 for part-time. I wish I had a gig like that. And if he's so good, as one of the callers said, he's such a great talker, then he ought to be able to charm anybody. Put him on a commission. He gets 10% what he brings in. Give him a base salary, say, of $15,000-$20,000, because his other income is quite good. And I'm sure maybe there's some other things, but let's start at the top and be an example for all of those. And since you do it yourself, Mr. Starman, to yourself, there's no problem with legalities and obfuscation, and I'll listen to you on the air. Thank you very much, everybody.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Gary. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate the call, and Merry Christmas to you as well. You know, I agree complete with the comment that leadership starts at the top, and that's why both the city attorney, Rick DuVernay, and I chose about 6 or 8 weeks ago to voluntarily give back a pay increase that the city council had approved back in July 2008. And so we took a pay cut at that point in time. And then both the city attorney and I also agreed to forego to give up a contractual pay increase that we were entitled to in 2009. And we did that just for the reason you mentioned. I think it's important for leadership to take a strong position and to lead by example. And more importantly, the city council has done the same thing and just recently has altered its benefit package also to lead by example. So I appreciate that comment. I agree completely. With regard to the bigger topic of compensation and that type of thing, it's awkward for me to talk about my own situation, so I won't do that. But I will say that as a general rule, we run a very large and complex corporation. We have about a $300 million budget, in excess of 1,000 employees, and we do a lot of complicated things. We run an electric utility, a water utility, an airport, and a number of other things. It's important to have capable, high-quality people at leadership roles. And so, you know, quite frankly, it's a market situation. It's a supply and demand situation. And I think it's critical that as a corporation, you want your city to be managed well and you want good people at the helm. And I think you need to pay people an appropriate salary to do that.
Okay, thanks. This is Gary again, but it's a different Gary. Gary, good morning and Merry Christmas.
Good morning. How are you fellas and Linda this morning?
Good morning. We're great.
We're great, Gary.
I would like to talk this morning about the federal infrastructure package is coming up, and the list that the city will be sending in.
Mayor,
I understand from contacting the federal Congress that they're going to start working on this stimulus package on January the 6th, and both the House and Senate are planning on having a bill which will be enumerated with all these projects. Put together and handed to the new president by January the 20th. If the city of Reading waits until January the 20th to take these different projects and formalize this list with the city council, we're going to be way behind the eight ball.
Well, Gary, if I can jump in right now, this is Rick Bassetti. I think that we're trying to get our hands around a couple of our different projects that were on that list of 23. I know personally I've been out soliciting a number of our different business groups to look at the list, to prioritize, so that we can have a united front when we get this, our notification into the state as well as the federal, because the federal is going to allocate X amount of dollars to the state. And, Kurt, I'm not sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the state itself is going to determine which projects then will be accepted for the infrastructure.
Yeah, I think that's the conventional wisdom. Quite frankly, it's a work in progress. There is no federal economic stimulus plan at this point in time, only discussion. But I think most people believe that it will probably be mostly money allocated from the federal government to the state and then the state to local jurisdictions such as Reading. To the caller's point, I agree completely, as does Mayor Bassetti, as he mentioned. But we've been on top of this for many weeks now. We've submitted multiple lists of potential projects to all of our representatives, Congressman Herger, Senator Feinstein, Senator Boxer. We've communicated with the Schwarzenegger administration, and we've done a number of other things as well. So we're
why is it then that the list that I've seen has 5, 6, and 7 have signalization stoplight projects.
Gary, I don't think that that's a priority list. Those were just numerically listed. And I agree with you. It could be construed as that. And quite honestly, my personal preference right now is to get behind the Oasis project. We could be killing a couple of major birds with one stone out there. We can get that infrastructure in on the freeway overchange. It can provide what we need to open up 3 million square feet of retail and 2,500 new residential, about 6,000 jobs over the next 10 years. And so if we can get behind that, but again, you know, we need to make a united front when we do go to the governor and to our representatives and say, look what we have to offer. And it could be the largest single most impact for their dollars in Northern California, in my opinion.
Hey, Gary, we've got to take a break. Thank you so much for your call. The phone lines are backed. I want to give everybody a chance.
All right.
Thank you. Hey, look, this is Carl Lindebaugh here on Free Fire Radio with our guest, Mayor Bassetti, and City Manager Kurt Starman. Join us on the other side.
Welcome back. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio. This is KQMS 1400-221-1402. We're taking your calls. Right now, I would like to bring to your attention that DeShasta Discount Outlet, that's there on Cypress Avenue in the old Meeks building, would like to donate its unsold trees while supplies last. They have up to 6-foot trees, and if you did not get a tree this year but still want to get one, they're going to give you one for no charge. Also, this just in, Simone's Christmas tree lot, where we love to get our Christmas trees. They're giving Christmas trees away too for needy families. Right now, let's go to the phones. Get back on topic.
Hey, Greg, thanks for waiting.
And Merry Christmas to y'all.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Well, this is early too. Hey, the electricals, what I'm wanting to speak about. You guys just passed the thing, you know, with the 7% stuff. I saw the presentation, very good PowerPoint and whole bit, but they seem to leave out a lot of parts there that 7% was, you know, the first year, and I was led to believe that it was going to be the same the next year, but it's actually 14% in 2011, and they gave us that, you know, starry look like, you know, and then we'll take it from there. But my point is that Paul was on your show here a while back, and the last caller that called in said that also, too, they're going to raise the reading the meters, too, as well. But that wasn't presented in that, you know, that takeoff. But one of the questions I had, and the reason I bring it up is in 2005, they increased it 22 cents, which just seems trivial, but that's $108,000 a year for you guys. And then they raised it again in March of 2007, which is $162,000 a year on top of what they get. And then they raised it again 9 months later, and that brought it up to $172,000 more a year that they're collecting on top of that reading. That's based on, you know, 41,000 meters that we have out there. And at the same time, the water meter people raised theirs up too, $1 is what it was, and that, you know, that cascades up to about $350,000. So you put that's $500,000 right there alone that they're collecting extra. And the question I had is, apparently they don't have to run it across you guys. They can just raise that little rate there that seems real trivial, or do they have to run it across you guys first or put it before us, the city, you know, to get an okay on it?
Yeah, I think I'm going to take a stab at this. I don't really know the details of the numbers you threw out there, but I will say this, that the city does have in addition to our, you know, electric rate schedule, for example, which is based upon how much energy you consume, we do indeed have a fee for specific services that are provided. Those fees are typically adjusted each year around June or July by the city council for inflation. We typically would match that to the consumer price index. So it's
so
not,
they have to run it across you guys first at city council or just internally?
Typically, it's done by the city council. Our master fee schedule is looked at by the city council typically in the summertime of each year, and we adjust it by CPI, which is, you know, depending on the time of year, has been running between 3%, 4%, or 5%. So that might be what you're referring to, although I don't have a specific our fee schedule is, you know, has a number of different items on it, so I don't recall that specific item, but I suspect that might be what you're referring to.
Yeah, well, I mean, they went from like $6.01 just to read your meter, and then, you know, then when they increased it again 9 months later, it went to $6.36, which seems real little. But, you know, carrying that out, 41,000, you know, electric meters, that's $172,000 to you guys.
Sure.
I mean, that's two employees there.
And the rationale for that is, and, you know, we may or may not agree upon this point, but the rationale for increasing or adjusting the fees each year by inflation is to, just for that reason, to keep up with inflation. Obviously, the cost of the city buying materials or paying its employees increases each year by inflation.
But there's been freezes going on. I mean, there's a freeze on everything from what I understand, and plus they're laying off, but then they're going to increase it, you know, with probably another 30 cents, which is another $172,000, but yet we just laid off these firemen and everybody else, and But those increases are, you know, projected in there. But then yet they covered in their PowerPoint that, you know, that we're going to save on tires and all this other stuff and blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't make any sense in that part. I mean, to me, just looking at a little tiny number right here and projecting it out at 41,000 electric meters out there.
Yeah, I understand. That's the explanation, and that the issues that we, and notwithstanding the fact we've had a hiring freeze in place for some time, our employees, we have a very highly unionized environment. 90% plus of our employees have a labor agreement, and those employees have, historically at least, received cost of living increases in the past. That may change going forward, obviously, with the economy, and we'll deal with that issue going forward.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys take it from there. I just want to bring that to people's attention. Seem like little tiny numbers, but you take that times 41,000.
Well, the big question, I think, last time, too, Greg, is that they're saying you got the same guy reading the both meters.
Mm-hmm.
And what Hoosier said was that this was not just the reading of the meters, was the cost of the infrastructure trying to keep things going, too.
But they're getting the increase on the electric part, too, as well, which covers all that from what they said.
Yeah, you know, I'm not defending it. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying is what he said.
Greg, this is Rick, and I understand what you're trying to say about the $100-something thousand. That's the total bill. But the increase itself.
No. That's just the additional. That's not the total. That's just adding the 30 cents to it.
Hey, let me break in here because we do have a hard break here, and we will address this on the other side. But thanks, Greg. Thank you so much. Okay, this is Carl Lindabad here on Free Fire Radio with the mayor and our city manager. Join us on the other side.
We also want to say Merry Christmas. Guess who we have in our studio today? Very special guest. We have our manager, Kurt Storman. Are you going to dip me? I hope so, before the whole day's out. And also we have Rick Bassetti, our mayor, and we're going to go to the phones because Ron has been on the phone. Thanks for waiting, Ron.
Ron, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you, both of you, for being here on Christmas Eve, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I know both of you reasonably well, and I appreciate what you're doing, and Kurt, I respect your ability a great deal. But I'd like to suggest something. Even from the nature of the calls today, it appears that in the minds of many citizens, what is being done government-wise in Reading just doesn't make sense to them in view of the economic conditions we're in right now. And case in point is the Turtle Bay situation. But there's a history there, as you both know, to this whole story. But I think maybe that could be an approach that we could take as we get into a new year with a new council. And I'd like to suggest that you guys consider having kind of an old-fashioned town hall meeting and have it on a regular basis, not a council meeting, and allow people to come in and voice their concerns. I think there's a lot of frustration out there. A lot of people do not understand what's behind some of the decisions that have been made and the decisions that you're making now. And there's a lot to be said in a positive nature for the decisions you're making now. But if you approach it as if you're running the city like you would be running a business, where you have a source of income and you have expenses, and just lay it out in front of people, I think you're going to find you're going to get a lot of support from the community, which is really what we need to do right now. If we ever need to pull together as a community, this is the time to do it, because this economic situation is not going to correct itself in the next few months. It's going to be with us for a while. And we don't want to repeat what we've been doing in the past and make mistakes. And I think you're going about it to correct that, to do the right thing. But I would just like to propose that kind of an idea to you. Have an open, maybe once a month. It takes a little logistics to do it, but we have facilities around town. And invite people to come in with their concerns, and then invite the department heads to come in and hear some of these concerns.
Yeah, I think that might be a good idea. I mentioned we actually did that for a couple of years. We had we called it a brown bag lunch, and we just, I think about every other month, we just open up our community room. And many of our council members would attend, and many of the department directors as well. And we actually ended up canceling these meetings because of lack of interest and lack of attendance, which is unfortunate. But I do agree with you, Ron. I think these times are different, and people do have an interest in these topics, and we do have to pull together as a community and work on these issues. So it may be time to revisit that thought, and I appreciate the call.
Hey, Ron, thanks so much for that. And, you know, the other part, too, is that ours is a new show, as you know, and we're looking for, you know, different ways of giving our listeners a voice. And one of the things is having the mayor and the city manager in on a monthly basis so that you can ask them questions and they can get the word out to people, because as we have found with when we start explaining things, it does start easing some of the tension. And when people don't understand something, then we have a tendency to listen to rumors. And there's so many rumors flying back and forth. And that's why, you know, I think it's absolutely right. Now is the time to start these city, these open meetings. Let people come in and, you know, at least try it again.
And let me mention, just before we move on to the next topic, of course, all of our city council meetings are open to the public. We encourage people to attend. So the council meets on a regular basis on the first and third Tuesday at City Hall at the council chambers at 7 p.m. And we also make all of our meetings available on our website on video. And we also air those meetings on the local community access channel, Channel 11, if you have Charter Communications.
And so, item number three on our agenda is always the public forum. We move that up to the very front of our meetings so that if people want to come in, ask a question, propose a future agenda item, that they're more than welcome to come in and do it. We can't act on it at that particular point in time, but that is a really good forum, too, to try to bring something else up into to the council itself.
And I'll add annex to item number four, is that Free Fire Radio, the reason behind this show is it's a conduit for the people. We are here. It's a show for the people, by the people. And we like, we'll invite again our listeners to go to freefireradio.com. We get all kinds of comments. What do you want to talk about? What's bothering you? As Carl said, what's in your craw? And that's why we'd love to have you gentlemen on, so that we can clarify and get things out that maybe people don't want to come or they can't make it to the meeting. So let's go to some more callers.
Bruce, good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Well, good morning, you three up there. Happy holidays to you.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
Anyhow, I have a question for Mr. Starman.
Yes, sir.
It just seems like that no government agency, whether it's the locals or the state or the county or it always grows. It never does grow backwards. Is there any departments up there that you would be willing to privatize that could be done in the private sector? And when you make that decision, what I would like to see done is just single out anyone. Let's talk about the road maintenance department, road construction. Take that group right there and pull the cost of what you're paying for them right now, and then back that cost clear down through when all the entitlement packages are given to these people, and take that whole group of people and say, this is what it actually costs us every year, including the retirees and everything for our road maintenance division. And wouldn't that be an item that you could privatize out and get rid of, that we'd get the same service out of it?
Yeah, great
have
question.
Have preference for somebody in Shasta County, say, the private people have a 10% preference if they live here to bid on these contracts, and then have your people just oversee the projects.
Well, let me take a stab at that one. I think those are good thoughts, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by what we do already, but there's certainly always room for improvement. Let me start with your first question about government tends to grow and does not contract, and I agree with that completely. And in fact, that's why we have such a serious problem in Sacramento with the legislature not being willing to deal with its budget issue. They're now looking at a $42 billion problem over the next 18 months because they don't have the political fortitude to deal with that issue. And then, of course, the poster child for cities here in California is the city of Vallejo, which has not been able to wrestle with its or deal with its budget issue and now has declared bankruptcy. As I mentioned earlier, this city council gets a lot of credit, in my opinion, for being willing to make the tough choices, and we are contracting our workforce and reducing expenditures to match revenue sources. So, first of all, kudos to this city council. With regard to the privatization topic, we actually do quite a bit in that area, and I'll just mention a couple examples. One, the most recent, would be our library, where we took over the library system in a partnership with the County of Shasta. That was historically managed by the county with county employees, and we privatized that function, and we were able to increase service hours to 60 hours per week, and we're giving excellent service to the community by using a private firm to provide that function. Another great example is the Reading Area Bus Authority, which is also managed by the city on a day-to-day basis, but it's a four-way partnership with other jurisdictions. That's been managed or ran or operated by a private company for many years, and they do an excellent job for us. So we continue to look at opportunities like that, and we've done a number of things like that. Animal regulation is another one with Haven Humane.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot for that phone call. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, phone lines are loaded up, and we're going to come back with Allison. But this is Carl and Linda Bott from Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Alice, good morning. Thanks for waiting.
You're on the air, Alice.
Hello, season's greetings.
Hey,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, on this problem that we've got, it comes down to just one problem, and that is the extortion of the labor unions, and it doesn't matter whether it's teachers or whether it's the city workers or Caltrans or the police, the firemen.
Well,
they have bankrupted our system. There is no way that the taxpayer can meet the burden of paying these people 90% on retirement and all the medical expenses that go with it. Now, that's you can try and patch this thing and try and dance around it, but bankruptcy is truly the remedy to deal with it, because you've got legal contracts there that have to be met. And the only way to do it is to go into bankruptcy and renegotiate. And the whole nation is having to do it. And the reason the whole nation is having to do it is because the unions throughout the nation have extorted the abundance of the people.
Alice, I'd like to jump in and take a shot at this thing, okay?
Thank you for your call, Alice.
You know, I was going through, we're in negotiations and doing things. We can't talk about a lot of our private stuff that's online here. And because I was really disappointed that all of our unions didn't want to step forward and participate in the retirement. And then sitting down, and I like to be numbers-oriented as well, so I asked our city manager here to explain to me how it came about, why are we doing this now. And so I'm going to give you about a 35-second, 40-second answer here. I agree with you. I think if anyone should be getting a good retirement, it should be our former military. They're the ones that step up and protect our freedoms. They actually go out and die on the line. But they don't have a lobby that gets people elected that provide them with the pensions that have been provided to our public employees unions, as well as they don't have the powerful unions like in your United Auto Workers. I'm not anti-union by any stretch of imagination. However, what happened in the late 70s, early 80s was runaway inflation caused a lot of the cities in California to offer to pay the other portion of their retirement. And what that does, it inflates now, just recently, in the last 2 to 3 years, the rules have changed at CalPERS, Kirk?
Yeah, I think what Mayor Bassetti is referring to is in the late 70s, early 80s, it used to be that the employees paid either 7 or 9% of the cost of the retirement program, and the city paid the remainder. And I mean 7 or 9% of their base salary or paycheck.
But what we report now, though, to the CalPERS people, as an example, an easy number to figure is $1,000 a month. If, Carl, you're getting paid $1,000 a month to be a public safety person, and we're paying your 9%, we report to CalPERS $1,090.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're at the, if you retire after 30 years, you're not getting 90% of $1,000. You're getting 90% of $1,090. So now your retirement goes to a check for $981, not $900. So in essence, off of their base, they're getting 98%.
Wow.
And so I can see now, when I saw that, I go, okay, now I know why they don't want to pay their portion. Because that's 8, look at the 8%.
Well, you know, but I think what Alice is saying is that we're going to, you know, I know San Diego went right down the tubes because of the unions had the people over the barrel down there. And so now, you know, they almost lost their bonds and everything down there.
I do not want to bankrupt this city.
No.
We would not do that.
Here's the good news, bad news for Alice in particular. So one, the good news is that the city of Redding is in a very good fiscal position, and we continue to make adjustments to make sure we stay that way. So the good news is you have a city that's well managed and is in a strong fiscal position. Bad news is that means we can't declare bankruptcy. So we can't follow the idea that Alice put out there.
One last point on this, though. If, in fact, we had gotten an agreement from all of our bargaining units, how much money would that have saved us right off the chute, I think?
I think for the general fund, that was about $2.1 or $2.2 million per year in savings to the general fund. The total figure would have been more for the city in its totality.
Okay,
so that would have taken care of the budget cut there. Okay. Janet, good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning. I did some math on the 44,000 households and the 36-cent increase for the equipment for the meter reader, whatever, and not 158,000, it's like 15,000.
We were talking about that at the break as well, and I think the previous caller was actually taking that number, then multiplying that by 12 months. So it probably gets him close to the figure he mentioned on the air earlier.
Thank you for calling, Janet.
Thanks.
John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Kurt.
Good morning. Good morning.
Merry Christmas to you all.
Thank you.
And I'd, sadly, I'd like to send out my condolences to the Allen family on their terrible loss. To get to the subject, I agree with what Ron Larson said earlier, with one major exception. We do not seem to have a new council. The newest council member seems to have cast her lot with the Stegall-Dickerson troika and favoring style over substance. Turtle Bay is an amusement. Fire and police are essential services. Kurt, I believe you suggested a 30% cut in the Turtle Bay subsidy, and the Dickerson-Stegall-MacArthur group reduced that to 10% and voted to reduce essential services. Rick, I want to know if you have a way or a thought how you can overcome this roadblock that the city council seems to be stumbling through, the same as it did when Murray was on there. Couldn't get through to anything conservative about the economics of things.
Well, I think that
we need to recall them or what?
Well, thank you, John.
I think that we're at just the very beginning of this whole mess right now, and I would ask you to reserve a little patience here over the next 6 to 9 months, because this is the beginning. And I would hate to say that we're going to have to come back and visit all of these cuts again. Looking at the news that's coming out right now on the reports from the last fiscal quarter, it's continuing to tank. We've lost Taylor, Miller Auto here in town. I don't think our reports should be coming in good. So I think that when we're faced with more reality, I think you might see a tendency to change a little bit, and we will have to make the choice. When the choice comes down absolutely between people and programs, I think you'll see what you'll want to see.
It's 38 degrees here. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott. We also have Kurt Starman, our city manager, and our mayor, Rick Bassetti, and we're taking your calls on the other side. 8:51. We'll see you after the break.
Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, this is Carl Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio. Welcome back at 1400 KQMS.
Time's flying.
Tom, you got 30 seconds.
30 seconds is all?
Sorry.
Oh,
running out of time. You've used 10.
All right, well, one of the things, I think people are living longer, and there's just no way you can have the proportion of people retired drawing benefits almost as big as the amount of people you got working. And so somewhere along the line, we've come against a no-give situation. I think when they moved the 3% in 30 years and you can be out at 55, that was a big mistake, and I think that needs to be rolled back on public safety employees.
Is that your statement?
Too generous.
Yeah.
We can't afford it. I mean, a person can start at 25, retire at 55, get 90%, and live to be 90. They're going to get more retirement back than they ever made.
Absolutely.
You can't do that. We're just living in an age when people, only other solution is we all got to have an expiration date of 70 and drop dead.
Hey, Tom, okay. Thanks for the later. Phone call, and Merry Christmas. George, 30 seconds.
Yeah, on this, the state and the city both, we spend an awful lot of money on, or we don't spend the money, we take it away from the state by having all of this equipment on the road. Every three-axle truck that's on the road, that's owned by the city or the state, takes away at least $2,200 per vehicle per year. And I'm sure that private industry, if we had private industry in there and they were paying these fees, the state and the city governments would be much better off. I wish I had more time, but I don't, so thank you.
Hey, thank you so much, George. So you're talking about if instead of have the city have their own vehicles, they privatize it then, right?
If they privatize them, put it back to the general public to do the bidding, get the jobs, use the private vehicles. And like I say, I have 10-wheelers or three-axle trucks, and every year it costs me have a license, it costs me $2,100 or $2,200, somewhere in that general neighborhood. I understand they're going to triple them. That'll be up to $6,000 a year, and you're taking that. Every vehicle that's owned by the state or the city is taking that those fees away.
Okay. Hey, George, thanks a lot. Hey, man, have a great holiday season.
Hey, you too.
And we need to do a whole show just around that, really.
Because we have several phone calls on this one. Yeah. Any comments on that one? Quick.
I'll mention that George is correct in that vehicles that are owned by the city are not subject to the vehicle license fee. Of course, if they were, the taxpayers ultimately would pay that fee, and so that's why that's not in place. And he is correct to the extent the private sector owns a vehicle, it is subject to some taxation.
Okay. We've got like 1 minute left, so we'd like to say
thank you so much. Please come back and join us again. And quickly, what's your Christmas wish?
My Christmas, Kurt? I am looking forward to. My wish is a very prosperous and much better 2009. 2008 has been a challenge. 2009, I'm always hopeful and optimistic for better times.
Mayor. Love it. Mayor?
I would tag along with that I would like the people in this community have always been wonderful, generous community, and now it's time for their generosity to reach out to those who aren't going to be doing that well this season.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? We'd really like to thank all of our listeners for everything you all have done. To help with the Salvation Army, with the, you know, Haven Humane and all that. You all are the reason that we've got this show.
We'll be back on Saturday with Free Fire Saturday. That will be our last Saturday. Get well, Patty Bassetti. And we love you guys. We're so happy that we're here on Free Fire Radio with y'all.
And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you? Merry Christmas.
From now on, our troubles will be out. Yourself of me.